What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings,
And I'm Keith Finch.
and I will start this episode by addressing the elephant in the room, or rather the lack of elephant in the room. And as much as I don't want to dwell on things that are, upsetting to myself and Keith, I think that people will ask questions and it's, right for them to know. So for those of you guys that have been following us for a long time, and some of you guys follow Keith and myself on social media and maybe closer to us than the average fan, we lost Jack a couple of weeks ago. It was unexpected and unbelievably tragic, and we are all still grieving in our own ways about it. I was going to do a bit about how he found the he that he did honestly, he would appreciate this, but he did find the eternal fountain of goth muscle mommies, and he just decided that he would rather change planes of existence rather than go to NRA annual meetings,
What?
which
That's it's Jack energy, and I respect the fact that he chose Jack energy, and he's like, nah.
No, I don't want to go to Dallas with 65,000 people. That doesn't sound fun. I'm going to die
Unwashed
instead.
mass. Unwashed masses change planes of existence.
Right. Unwashed masses or
Unwashed masses.
Valhalla? I choose Valhalla. No, but we will, obviously we haven't done a show for a few weeks, as we, as we kind of processed this and figured out what to do with the show. And we decided that, the show, not to sound cheesy, but the show should go on. Keith and I did the show for a long time before we brought Jack in as a third co-host. And I think we should, we will keep doing the show. I like doing the show. Maybe we'll start
I
bringing
like doing the
in.
show too.
I do too. We talk about fun things. And it's funny because, the NRA annual meetings bit, right? Oh, first off, hang on. Now that we've gotten past the bummer part, this show is brought to you by Taurus USA and guns.com. No bit today. We're good companies. We make great guns. And you can buy those guns on guns.com and go support the homies. We actually have links. If you go to Taurus USA and you're like, ooh, let me check out the new links for the products that Taurus and Rossi and Heritage launched at NRA annual meetings. And there's like a
Don't get
buy
to
link.
those.
It goes to guns.com. So you can actually go buy it. But anyways, the topic of this episode is NRAM, which, for the record, I have to pause here. Before I started hanging out with you, I never called it NRAM. Like, not once ever in my life had the words and had the word the NRAM come out of my mouth. I would always say NRA. I would always just say NRA, the NRA show, annual meetings,
NRA
but
show,
never,
NRA annual meeting, the NRA meetup. Like, I don't remember where I first heard it as NRAM, or if I just read it and just said NRAM, kind of like CRAM or any other military acronym. I was just like, NRAM.
Well, and it's
And
funny that I never did it because the military loves to make acronyms that you can pronounce, right? Like they will 100% backronym something where they're like, here's a cool word. Now we have to figure out how to make this into an acronym that describes what we're doing.
We're doing a thing. Here's a cool word. All right. Synonym button. Come on.
Yeah, let's
Just
go.
straight up.
We have one of those in the Air Force, which is my favorite one. We have these teams out of security forces that are called daggers, but they spell it dagre, like DAGRE, and it's deployed aircraft ground response element. And 100% someone was like, let's call them daggers, and then they had to like figure
Yeah,
that
it's like, all
out.
right, how do we letters? Okay, cool.
Yeah, 100%. So, but anyway, let's talk about NRA annual meetings, and we can get to the Taurus Rossi Heritage launches in a bit because I've obviously talked about those a ton. Let's first talk about the meeting itself and the fact that there wasn't anybody fucking there.
No, the attendance was super light. The claimed attendance, and I will state claimed attendance, was 72,000 people. And like, look, that convention center is big and it's spacey. However,
I buy 72K actually. Because
okay.
if you, so, and here's why. So if you
Now,
think
okay,
about,
if we spread it out, all right. If we spread it out on 3 days, all right.
Well, so let's think about this in comparison. So last year at Indianapolis, they had 78,000, like so 6K more. And on Saturday in Indy, like you couldn't do a double arm extension and spin in a circle in my booth.
Nope.
Now, we had a limb fact on Saturday, which I'm going to talk about, and this is not, please don't like make this political or weird, but the president or the former President Trump was a speaker on Saturday, and he was late for his speaking engagement and then went past 6 o'clock when the show floor closes. So a significant chunk of people who came to the show to see Trump were basically trapped in the show hall for a significant chunk of the day on Saturday,
Yeah.
not being able to go in and out and see the actual displays and exhibits and stuff like that. And regardless of how you feel about President Trump, because he's a contentious figure even in conservative circles, I as a vendor, high key hate that. You know, like my value from the show comes from people coming to my booth. And if
And not
people aren't
being
coming,
sequestered for almost 6 hours waiting for somebody to talk.
So
Former
I
president
feel
or
some
not.
kind of, I feel some kind of way about that. And I think that has a significant effect on the perception of show attendance being low, right? Like, I
It
never on
was
Saturday.
reported lower than Indy, but not a tremendous, like 8% or so. The other thing that happened was the shakeup at the top due to the elections. We had
Oh,
three of
yeah.
the four top spots flip hands. And that's interesting because you know, and I know, and the world at large, in our circles, in our spaces at least, knows that the NRA has kind of been not everybody's favorite organization for the last couple of years. And I'm really interested to see where the shift at the top actually takes it. What we're going to see for, the direction in 25 and 26, and if the NRA is going to gain back momentum as the NRA ILA being the actual 8,000-pound gorilla in the room, and not cede that position to the other gun organizations that are doing good work. But I would rather have five 8,000-pound gorillas in the room of one that's competing against the other ones. Like,
Well,
give me all the legal gorillas.
and even talking to some of my swamp-dwelling DC scumbag lobbyist friends, I love you guys, but you are in the swamp.
You know what you do.
On the Hill, the NRA has lost clout. The perception of political weakness, malfeasance from the leadership, vulnerability to specious lawsuits, and all of that have done a lot to damage the NRA's clout on Capitol Hill, which is bad for us as a community. And we have made the argument on this show that the firearms community at large is better off with a vibrant NRA. And I think that, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that our hope is that the NRA gets its shit together, refocuses its political efforts, its, all of the potential revenue and all of that into the Institute for Legislative Action, into ILA, into the Political Victory Fund, stops worrying about so much about culture war games and focuses on the gun issue at the national level and becomes, that terrifying vote driving influencer again. Because we all remember the NRA at, in the night, in like the peak of its power during like the Obama administration, when Obama with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House couldn't pass gun control because the NRA would come for, would
They
jack shit
would
up.
come. They would come for everybody's jobs. If you want to, they took our jobs. Like,
They took
yeah,
my derbs.
pass gun control.
Yeah,
But
so I think.
nowadays they're not seen nearly as that threat. Now the president is a doddering man who can't remember what room he's
Do
in. However.
we actually believe that like he's running? Like I okay, guys, I am not conspiratorially minded, right? But like I watch President Biden talk and I'm like, I wouldn't give this man the keys to a fucking Chevy. much less the, nuclear launch codes.
It
Anyway.
really to throw this into a political direction for a minute, and then we'll go back to NRAM. It really feels like our election this year is just an exercise in elder abuse, and I don't like that. I do not like this at all.
You're not wrong. Like, for all of the conversations about how old Biden is, Trump is almost the same age as
Yeah,
Biden.
just nearly
And
as old. Like they're
the
way past AARP.
yeah, 100%. Like, I get, why the founding fathers were like, hey, you have to be at least 35 to be a senator or a president, because at the time, 35 was like a well-aged adult man. But we need to put like an upper cap on that, because I don't think if you were born before the Korean War, you should be allowed to set policy about the internet. But that's just.
I'm really a fan of the concept that if you can collect Social Security, that's your last term. Like if
Yeah,
you're in,
no, that's
fine.
reasonable.
But like
Look,
if you can collect Social Security, that's it. You're done. You're retired.
I have to
You're retirement
mandatory.
age by law.
But that's it. But this funny thing, right? Federal service mandates that, right? Like, in the Air Force, I have to retire when I am 59 years and 364 days old. I cannot serve a day past that without going through a complicated waiver process and a bunch of other stuff. And I understand that the military has physical requirements that, you don't see in the Senate. But like,
Yeah, but
if
like
you're if you're
60 in the
65,
military branch, you're probably flying a desk. Let's
yeah,
be
100%. But there's also a, but if you're like 65, right, you retire from your job. If you're 65, if you join the police force at 30 years old and you do 30 years and retire, you're 60, right? Like, once you are 65, I'm not saying that your mental capacity has degraded past the point of usefulness, but also, like, if you can't be an FBI agent past the age of 65, maybe you shouldn't be a senator. I'm just saying.
The allegation is that those people both make very serious decisions, right? The allegation is those people are there to make very serious decisions. So why do we disallow it on one hand with like arrests and criminal prosecution, but we're like, nah, it's fine. You're 98. It should be all right.
Right. Why do we say that a federal agent at 65 no longer, is capable of making life or death decisions with a handgun, but we say that a senator is capable of, or the president is capable of, making life or death decisions for thousands of people? I mean, it's weird to me. I'm young. Maybe when I'm
Little bit of
65, I'll have a
disconnect,
different opinion,
just
but I've also never wanted to be a senator or the president, other than. Like, I think when I was 8, I was like, it'd be cool to be the president so I could nuke Russia. Like, that was,
yeah,
my
but
thought
like we
process.
all thought that because
Yeah, because Russia, right? When we were
frickin'
8, Russia was, hang on, was Russia still the Soviet Union when I was 8? Yeah, 1990, the wall hadn't fallen yet. Or 1990, they had, it was 92, I think, when the Soviet Union broke up.
Yeah, I think 92, like 90. I'd have to look back. I don't.
It's crazy to me that kids that I served with have never experienced the Soviet Union. Like, never in their life has there been an entity called the Soviet Union.
It's crazy that kids that we served with or are serving now are not only like some of them didn't experience 9/11 even as a child who like couldn't remember it physically. Not only are some of those people in the military, some of those are getting through their first enlistment term and they're starting to enter the NCO Corps.
Oh, no joke. They're old enough to drink. If you were born in, November of 20 of 2001, you're old enough to have several beers now. So yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, this is old man rambling.
The most offensive thing I see grocery shopping is the liquor age.
Oh my God, right? When it's like, if you were born before today, if you were born after today, you
If
can't
you
buy
were
this
born
date, you
after
can't buy
today and this year, and I'm like,
and it
I'm
starts with a, yeah, I don't like that it starts with a 2. All right. I saw a t-shirt that cracked me up. It said, it had a like a screen cap. It was a digitalized screen cap of like the Oregon Trail graphics. And it said, please be patient with me. I'm from the 1900s. And I'm like, add to cart.
Yep, throwing
And
that one in there, and
yeah.
away we go.
So,
But
okay, let's
circling back.
actually go back to NRA annual meetings here for a minute. So, I got out of the booth a little bit. I walked around, and I'll talk about the coolest thing that I saw. while walking around the show floor, and that was the Langdon Tactical booth, because holy shit, the homies at LTT are killing it, right? Like, this was their first like big time, big boy show, and they had an amazing booth display. I was fully expecting it to be one of those like tables with a tablecloth and a
Yeah,
banner that says
it's your
LTT.
first one. You tend when it's your first one or it's your early ones, you tend to go cheap because this it isn't cheap. Like
No.
to go in on a booth is not cheap at all. So
And
yeah.
I've done the tablecloth banner, set up myself for other companies. And for the fact that I walked into that and it was like a big kid booth, and I'm like, this looks good as fuck, guys. Like, it was so cool to see, because I've known Ernest and Amy for forever now, and they're just watching that, watching the progression of LTT from we're a training company that makes Beretta parts, to we make some of the best guns on the market. And if you buy an off the rack 2011 instead of a LTT 92, you're probably dumb. It's been fantastic. And it was so cool to see that development for those guys. And that was really, I don't, it's not that I don't pay attention to other brands. It's that I have such limited bandwidth to observe what's going on that unless somebody throws down a really big, sexy launch, I probably don't notice it.
Speaking of that, I am going to give my favorite product on the floor to Taurus. That's
Hooray!
like
Not because we sponsor the show,
it
but.
would be silly for Caleb to say that because of reasons. It's less silly for me, even though I also work for Taurus in a marketing capacity. But I work for a ton of other people in a marketing
Right.
capacity too.
IWI, a whole bunch of
Yep,
other dudes. So.
IWI, Aero Precision's in there, Mossberg's in there. Like, there are a bunch of people who pay me to market their stuff. None of them pay me enough to lie about how cool it is, though. Nobody has cut me that check yet. If you want to, I am totally for sale. You're not gonna
Here's
like
my
it.
email
Like,
address.
you're not gonna like that return. Like, the ROI is gonna be awful, but I will do it. I will
My Venmo
absolutely
is.
do it. We are open to shill as always, but
Absolutely.
I will give it to Taurus Heritage and Rossi for not one, but two superb revolver launches. The Roscoe was one of the coolest guns to come out, and I saw so many noir and classic gangster memes just flow around after that thing launched. It was delightful. On top of that, it's only $299
Yeah.
MSRP. So, like, it's accessible, it feels good, really cool. And then I have to give it to the 692. And I hope that Taurus continues the slow trend of adding rounds to 9mm 357 frames until we have an absurdly like Looney Tune size revolver that's like 12 rounds.
We have so I was thinking about this the other day, and so we make the Raging Hunter in 500 mag, right? And it's a five shot 500 mag,
500 mag though.
and we could I wonder in a moon clip configuration how many rounds of 9mm I could shoehorn into a cylinder that size, because my brain tells me it's a lot. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like we could, I don't want to say 10, but I feel like 10 is on the table. Like, I feel like we could do 10. But, and
And that
the cool,
thought just makes me happy.
well, and you know what? Okay, so actually, as I think about this, one of the limb facts for increased capacity in moon clip revolvers is prong spacing, right? So because we everybody uses, it's funny that we call them moon clips when most of them are more like a star shape. Because of the star shape that they use, there's diameter restrictions that are inherent to that. But I just had this idea while I was sitting here. What if we did an inverse one where it's a circle with the prongs on the inside and you clip the rounds into it like that? I bet you I could get more rounds into that. Because of the change of shape. But this is pie in the sky stuff.
That
The
is certainly a kind of a skunk's work type item,
yeah,
and I'm here for
absolutely.
that because that sounds fun. Meanwhile,
So
I will be happily shooting the absolute piss out of that 692 in my local classes here,
Oh,
because
yeah.
I have a lot of people who still like revolvers and they want to shoot revolvers, and I much prefer handing them a revolver with really nice sights, a really nice trigger that's very comfortable for them to shoot, instead of some of the little 38s and 357s that really don't have, like, they are convenient carry guns, and they're something you should consider after learning to shoot a little bit. You should learn on a gun that's like nice to shoot. You should learn to
Yeah,
shoot a gun that's nice
100%.
to shoot.
Well,
Then
and
you can think.
the cool thing about the 692 that a lot of people don't get. So first off, it's actually been in our lineup forever. We've had it as the 692 tracker for a really, really long time. And I think bumping it up to an executive grade is absolutely the right call because the gun really benefits from that trigger job from the executive grade touches. But the other thing that makes it cool is that it is perfect. So let's say you have, you've got 36 9mm striker fired pistols, you've got a 2011, you've got a 90, a Beretta 90 or an LTT 92, you have all of these things, right? And you're like, I want to get a revolver, but I only have 9mm ammo in my house because that's all I've ever bought. I don't want to have to go invest in 38 special or 357 Magnum or whatnot for that. You go buy a 692. It comes with three stellar clips, which is what we call them. At no point have I ever said that. I call them moon clips. Comes with three moon clips in the box. You can buy more moon clips on shoptourist.com and you're good to go. Will you see degraded accuracy with 9mm rounds versus 38? Yeah. However, it's not that significantly degraded because I shot my 692, which is just a tracker model, at 25 yards off a bag, and I was shooting 4-inch groups with the gun with 9mm rounds. Can I, would they, would it probably have shot 2-inch groups with, 38 special? Sure. Is 4 inches at 25 yards more than accurate enough for most people? Yes, it is. So chill on the like, no, not as accurate.
That's plenty to get what you need to do in a competitive sense,
Yeah.
or in just general shooting
You
sense.
want to shoot Steel
And most
Challenge
people
with
who
it? You
shoot
want to,
these guns can't put a 4-inch group at 25 yards.
yeah.
That's
So
hard.
I am gonna do I am gonna throw a little shade here. And it's not, I don't want people to think that this is me. You know what? No, I am gonna throw a little bit of shade at Smith & Wesson.
You're
And
allowed
it's
to.
not because I'm mad at Smith. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Smith & Wesson. I have many Smith & Wesson revolvers and I love them. I think they're fantastic. And I also have a tremendous amount of respect for Jerry Michalek and love him and think he's fantastic. But if I had to pick the most disappointing thing at NRA annual meetings, it's the new Jerry Special Edition Performance Center gun. And here's why. I need you guys to hear me out. Three reasons. First off, the price point. It's $3,500. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of money, and I understand MSRP versus street price, but the price point.
Still,
Then,
the street price on a $3,500 gun is not that
not
much
that,
more
yeah,
than
it's maybe three
$3,500, guys.
grand. Yeah. Price point, and then the trigger. So I actually went to the booth and dry fired it. And guns at shows tend to have better triggers than the actual ones that you buy because by the time they hit the show floor, they've been dry fired a gajillion times and they've been dry fired a bunch more by a bunch of people. So all those wear parts have worn in. It doesn't have a good trigger. The trigger is the same as, so many years ago, some of you guys remember, I bought a 586 L Comp Performance Center gun. And I had to do an action job because the factory trigger was like 13 and a half pounds or some crazy number. And it was gritty and it stacked. And I dry fired the Jerry Special Edition and the trigger was gritty and it stacked and it was heavy. And the fact that, like, if that's actually representative of the production guns, the fact that you are going to go pay a $3,500 for this gun and it still needs $250 of Apex parts to give it a good trigger pull was fucking insulting. I remember when Performance Center actually meant something, and now it's just a logo that they stick on a gun to make it cost more. And that is upsetting and frustrating to me as someone who really cares about revolvers and high quality revolvers. The fact that Performance Center basically just means it costs more is kind of irritating.
It's very irritating because it used to feel like it meant something, but I started when when Taurus launched the executive grade, which got a little bit of cheese and shenanigans online, like as it
Of
should.
course.
The old Taurus was, in fact, the old Taurus. So when they launched the executive grade, even I was like, what's this coming down? But then you started putting hands on the executive grade actions and triggers, and they're really nice coming out of the factory. It's a very
Absolutely.
well-tuned gun coming straight out of the box. That there's no gimmick or frill to that. It's just a nice revolver. And then I would equivalently go over to a Smith and Wesson product. Like my favorite one over there is the R8. I love the R8
Oh,
revolver.
art's a great gun.
I love the R8 revolver. But then I dry fire that, and the trigger just isn't as nice, right? So if I switch out the one part on the executive grade 692 that I would, if I want to shoot it seriously, the grips, put a serious shooting grip on it instead of the very lovely but a little too slippery decorative grips that it comes with. If I were to
They do
switch
be
out
pretty.
that grip for an actual shooting grip, there would still be a serious deficiency between the R8's trigger and the 692's or most of the executive grade line's trigger. Taurus is just producing such a nice factory trigger in the EG models that it's hard to say, like, no, I should definitely spend the $1,100, $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 performance center gun, depending on the
$2,500
model.
more. So the here's actual consumer purchasing advice that has nothing to do with the shirt that I'm wearing. If you would like a corded 9mm revolver, go buy the Taurus 692 executive grade, because MSRP on that is $1,100. The trigger is better out of the box than any. This is not a controversial statement. This is a fact. The trigger on the 692 executive grade is better than any factory trigger currently being produced by Smith & Wesson. That is a statement of fact.
That
It is not.
is an absolute statement of fact. I've tried the vast majority of their production and their performance center guns that they've had on display at shows. So they should be the best of the best right now. The EGs are better. That trigger is better.
It's fantastic. So if you want a 9mm revolver that looks cool, is ported to help reduce, the thunderous recoil of 9mm,
Thunderous.
and all of that stuff, go buy a 692 executive grade. MSRP is $1,100. Then if you want to put an RMR on it, go to Alchin Customs. Just Google Alchin Customs and buy their Taurus Tracker RMR mount, and you're set. You're done. Easy day. So do that. It makes more sense to me than spending whatever, 3 grand on 3,500 on the Jerry edition. And that's not to, again, if you are a Smith and Wesson collector and you get their limited editions and you're like, woohoo, then friggin' go do that. Make yourself happy, dude. But I
Yeah, like
just.
this is not to throw any shade at you buying a gun because you want the gun.
Yeah, no.
You are always allowed to buy a gun just because you want that gun. End of
Yeah.
reason. We don't need anything extra. You don't need to justify it beyond that to us. But if you're talking objective measures of performance,
Yeah,
that's a different conversation.
it really is. And again, I love Smith & Wesson revolvers. I have done some very high level, performance shooting feats with Smith & Wesson revolvers. And I don't want people to think that this is me being down on Smith as a company or talking trash or anything like that. It's disappointing to see. The current product that they're producing is not, in my opinion, up to the Smith and Wesson of old. Oh yeah, and the third reason I'm mad at the $3,500 Jerry Special Edition is you're telling me for $3,500 you couldn't make me a fucking frame that doesn't have the internal lock in it? Come on, come on.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, that irritates me. But speaking of revolvers, let's talk about the Roscoe, because
Oh
that's
my gosh.
okay. So
So much
do you.
fun.
You guys, so I'll give you guys a peek behind the curtain. Not to pat myself on the back, but I actually named that gun. I named two of our launches, as a matter of fact, the Roscoe on Heritage and the LWC on Rossi, which LWC stands for lightweight carbine because it's a lightweight carb. So, two behind the scenes stories. I'm in several group chats for work, and our boss sends a picture of the gun that would eventually become the Heritage Roscoe, and he's like, thinking about bringing this model back, what should we call it? And I immediately in the chat was like, that gun's called the Roscoe, there's no other name for it. And that stuck. We got with one of our agency partners to do the launch campaign to be very film noir, very, trench coats and guns and all of that. And it was fantastic. And the gun would a tremendous reception, like way more popular than I expected it to be at NRAM. So I'm super happy about how that launch went and the amount of feedback and social media commentary on it. The LWC is a similarly funny story where we were going back and forth on names for it. And in the same group text, I was like, why don't we just call it the lightweight carbine? Because it's a lightweight carbine. And I'm actually in many ways more excited about the LWC than I am the Roscoe, and here's why. So the Roscoe is super cool. I love it. If you want a five shot J frame sized revolver to, either cosplay as the guys from LA Confidential or just as a carry gun, because it is a legitimately good carry gun, go get a Roscoe. But the LWC is cool, and here's why. Do you remember the NEF handy rifle?
I do, in fact.
How great was the NEF handy rifle when they started making them with threaded barrels? Like,
Spot on. Like those were legitimately when you were looking for the absolute like just absolute quietest gun you could possibly get, you could possibly throw together as a functional firearm. That was it,
yeah.
right? That was
It
it.
was the NEF handy rifle. They were such good guns because like a TC Encore at the time was like, a G, right? It was like $800 or $1,000 or some crazy number like that. And while you could do a lot more things with the TC Encore, like switch barrels and play gun Legos and all of that, the NEF handy rifle was $150 or some crazy, like crazy low
It
number.
was super economically viable. They worked fine because it's just a single shot rifle.
Yeah, single shot break action rifle. It was a great first gun for kids as a starter hunting rifle. It was a great gun to throw on an ATV because if it fell off and you ran it over, you just bought another one, And I always loved them. I loved their utility. I loved their usability. And so now that we have one of our own and we launched it in 350 Legend because apparently, there's a lot of states that still have like straight wall only deer hunting cartridge restrictions, which I wasn't aware of because that's a dumb. That's so dumb. But
It's really silly. I understand the logic that came about for it because Michigan's one of those. We were a shotgun only zone, so you could use rifle, slug, or block or buckshot, and then we went to a straight walled cartridge within certain specs, within certain velocity and weight specs, and it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't. There are necked, like there's no magic about a necked cartridge versus a straight wall cartridge from a safety standpoint because it comes down to ballistic coefficient and muzzle velocity for how far this thing is going to go. So
So I guess the whole yeah, it's a silly
it's
rule, but it
silly.
exists
It's
in a
like
lot of places.
they did not do well at it, but it's still the rules.
And so there, the 350 Legend is a cartridge that was made to answer that question because it provides better terminal ballistic or better exterior ballistics and better terminal ballistics than say a 30-30, which is a bottlenecked cartridge, which you can't use. So this is why these rules are dumb. 350 Legend provides better exterior and terminal ballistics than 30-30 or comparable to 30-30 in terms of terminal. But the 30-30 is bad because it's bottlenecked. 350 Legend, okay, because not bottlenecked. That makes sense, I guess. Anyway, I think the LWC is a super cool concept and I'm super excited for it. And I'm super excited for the cap for all of the calibers because we were doing it in 5.56, 300 black, 6.5 Creedmoor. And then we're going to do it in the new boutique high caliber turbo murder rifle round 8.6 blackout because that's like a
Because you
thing that
do.
because you can and
Yes.
because. So I'm also, after I get off this, after we get done recording, I'm going to text that group chat and be like, hey guys, I have an idea. LWC, 500 Magnum Ashley Express rifle sights. Why? Because we fucking
Because
can.
we
That's why.
can.
Because we can. Because we're there. Because we should do dumb things because they're fun. And then the last thing we did at NRA that I feel like a lot of people m maybe missed is we launched a bunch of top eject lever action rifles, like 1892 style rifles on Heritage. So with Heritage, we have all of like our classic sort of retro products. So we're moving the so we've got the Heritage 92s over there in how many calibers did we make you put on the website?
All of
All of
them.
them? Yeah, all
All
of
of
them.
them. Every caliber.
357, 45 Colt, 44 Mag, and I think 454 Casull, but I'd have to double check that one. But
I
if you
want to
guys
say
want,
yes. There were a lot of SKUs that got dropped
yeah.
us.
So if you guys are into the whole lever action game, we are staying strong in the lever action game. Heritage, we got rifles on Heritage. We've got the R95s on Rossi. So yeah, we're staying strong. I think for us at NRA, it was a pretty good show. I would say that we, as a brand, as three brands, Taurus, Rossi, and Heritage, we had a pretty good show. Again, disappointed with the floor traffic. But what did you see in your wanderings that was other than us that was interesting? Like, what was cool and new out there for the consumer?
Cool and new for the consumer was like I didn't make it into Langdon, so I didn't know they had done like a really good booth and show. But like
Yeah, it was sick.
even Langdon didn't launch new stuff. They were just there, more present. They're an expanding brand. There wasn't a lot on the floor. It was not a lot new on the floor. It was a very quiet show for the with the exception of you guys. It was a lot of people who showed up. Things that were announced in at SHOT Show timeframe, things were announced there. We saw them physically done, right? So you saw the products in hand. There were more of them. A good example is Primary Arms' new PLX-C in the second focal plane variation, which I'm excited about. I like the scope a lot in the front focal plane. I think they needed to launch it in the second focal plane, because I think that's the more useful of the two for carbine optics. So I was happy to see more of those. And in general, just because of the year and because we're coming up the election and everything like that, it was slow, it was quiet. There wasn't a lot new, but there was a lot that had been advanced. They're either launched and shipping or very close to launched and shipping. And filling out those niches because the products are finally rolling forward. And we're seeing a lot of the bottlenecks that we saw the last couple of years due to supply and manufacturing and everything like that. Ooh, thumbs up.
Ammo is
We're
about to get
seeing
more
those clear
expensive.
out. So there's a lot cleaner timeline between announcement and shipping than we've been able to predict in a lot of other ways. So from the very boring standpoint of things will get to you faster, guys, that's starting to come true more and more. Things are going to get to you faster, more smoothly. And there are a lot of sales going on this summer, guys. So if you see something on sale that you want, frickin' snag it.
We are all at the manufacturer level being like, we have got to move some units this summer because the summer slowdown has definitely already started. We are, people are order
It's
slacking off
hitting
already.
to talk some shop for people who watch this who actually care about the like marketing side of things, all five of
All
you.
six of you.
Yeah. Very generous, six of you. The market is in a slump we haven't seen in many years. And the funniest thing that I keep getting asked is, why could this be? I'm like, I need you to understand that 2020 through 23 was artificial. Like that was artificially induced because of several factors related to the pandemic and the actions that were taken during the pandemic by both public people and the government. That created a dramatic increase. And the thing that people, and we've done this like five times now since you and I have entered the industry seriously, because we do it every time that there is a jump. Everyone just says, this is the new normal. No, it isn't.
Do you remember all of the boutique AR manufacturers that sprang up after Sandy Hook? And it's like, we're selling ARs like crazy. And now they're all gone.
They're all
Like,
gone.
gone, gone.
They're all gone. They grabbed my hope for them is they grabbed their bag. They had, a production window that they knew was going to happen. But in reality, I know most of them unfortunately died like tragic,
Yeah, most of
slow
them just
death.
went out of business and
They
all of their employees are
just,
gone.
built too much product. They weren't particularly notable. They hadn't built a firm foundation for what they were doing, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
So suck, like that sucks, but man, the problem we are going to see with this year is all the people who didn't think that 2020 through 2023, especially 2020, 21, and 22 were going to end. They didn't think those numbers were going to end. And everybody who's like, no, we need to enjoy this, but we need to plan to go back to 2018, 2019. Those people who are thinking we're going to go back to 2018, 2019, those people are fine right now. They're not
Yeah.
great because numbers are down, but they're fine because they knew 2018, 2019, that's the normal line.
Yeah, that's that that is
That's
a
where we can predict
normal
normal.
performance. Well, because you and I both remember the Trump slump.
Yes.
And we are experiencing this isn't I well I don't this this
We're
isn't
kind of
as
in experiencing the Trump slump with Trump
yeah
out.
it's not as bad as the Trump slump, but it's definitely significant. And obviously, we're all like waiting to see what's going to happen around election season, but I don't it hasn't been contentious like 2020 was, right? Like
Like we said earlier in the cast, this election feels like elder abuse, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't,
Now,
this has a really weird feeling as an election.
if the internet man, if the internet rumor is correct, and I don't know how much you want to trust internet rumors, but okay, but here's my favorite conspiracy theory that I don't actually think this is going to happen because it's crazy person talk, but
But it's also fun to indulge in crazy person talk.
crazy person conspiracy theory that I read on X. And so far, I want to caveat this with not a single one of the conspiracy theories that I have read on X has borne any truth to it, right?
Has
It is like,
remotely happened. But when one of them finally does through volume of fire, they're going to be like, I predicted it all along.
right. We're
Okay.
we're at monkeys with typewriters theory here when it comes to conspiracies on X. This one is that at the Democratic National Convention, the Democrats are going to dump Biden as the nominee via vote, which they can do. It isn't there within their procedural things to do that. They're going to dump him via the vote, and they're going to use Gavin Newsom as the candidate. So that's the Twitter conspiracy theory or the X conspiracy theory that I read, and I'm like, bro, please let that happen. I'll sell a bunch of
I would,
guns.
oh
Like.
yeah, like that would be great for us.
That's the
That
that's
would be
the
fantastic for us. It's like, oh, a man who is a known enemy of the Second Amendment, known. I don't use the term enemy a lot in politics
No,
because
but
I think
Gavin
it
Newsom hates the
overblows.
Second
But Gavin
Amendment.
Newsom is straight up an enemy. Like
Oh yeah, 100%.
that man is a moron. And we have a bunch of mutual friends who unfortunately work closer to him than they would like,
Yeah.
who very much don't like that fact.
Sorry to all of my friends who live
Sorry.
behind the orange curtain in California.
Yeah, it's
But it'd be like
not the
that. So
iron
anyway,
curtain, it's just an orange one.
that's the crazy conspiracy theory that I've heard. I don't think it's actually going to happen because that's crazy. What I do
The
think is they're going
the math behind it, if you want to get into like the betting and the math and everything like that, Trump
what?
is already very much close to Biden in the numbers. He's ahead or he's a behind, depending on which poll you look at. And polls are notoriously it anyway. But if you look at the numbers, if Biden had, if the Democrat, let's phrase it this way, if the Democrat Party had enough of a lead over Trump where they thought they could make up the very likely drop if Biden goes away and Gavin Newsom takes over, because there will be a drop that they have to then make up through efforts.
Okay,
If they thought they could
so
sustain that, Maybe.
According to Vegas, Gavin Newsom is a plus 1500 underdog to win the presidency. So, if you had $100 and you wanted to, throw it down on that, you'd get $1500 back if he,
$1,500 back.
if he
That's
won.
it.
So I'm not saying throw your money away, but
It's in the running.
it is within a realm of possibility. According to these current odds, Donald Trump is the favorite at minus 104, Joe Biden plus 117. If that was a fight, we'd call that a pick 'em fight, right? That's too close to actually call a true favorite in there. So anyway, that's fun to talk about, but not today. That is actually it for today, guys. So again, this episode wasn't maybe as lively as previous episodes for obvious reasons. But before we go, I want to thank everybody for listening. Some of you that knew what was happening have reached out to us, and we really appreciate that.
We do. I
Jack
do.
was Jack was a dear friend, a dear colleague, really well loved in the industry, and some of his things, some of the things that he contributed to this industry and to my life will live on. I think for me, the thing that he contributed to me that will live on forever, that I will teach my son about, that hopefully he will teach his sons about, is the trap hoodie.
Trap hoodie and my bad 20. My
The
bad 20
trap,
is definitely
yeah.
going to be
The My
a
Bad
lesson
20
that
is
I've.
so mainstream. I've had people tell me about it that didn't know Jack, and I'm like, yeah,
Exactly.
no, I know about that. I knew the guy. But yeah, that is it for us, guys. Thank you so much. We will be back next week with an all new episode. So make sure you tune in and like, share, subscribe, do all of those things that help grow the show.